This goes out to the AVS fam, to the crew getting ready at the Pepsi can. DJ Triple T banging thunder with the high jams. My dog Bernie Yan smiles in the West Stands.
The ColoradoHockey.com podcast is brought to you by FSFAM.com, AVSFAM.com.
You know, we do a lot of these podcasts that are fast and furious and music going on everywhere and a lot of silliness, but what we love to do is slow it down a little bit and start to get to know some of these people who are in the hockey ecosphere of Colorado. The Colorado Avalanche, the Eagles, even back in the days when we had the Rockies, we start to talk to all these people who were a part of it, the people who maybe don't get the credit for bringing it to you or talking about it, or, you know, the things that you just don't see as a fan, but they absolutely have everything to do with things happening and working and the exposure that you get. And so you have all these fans that when the Avs came to town, they were already this, you know, team full of hockey Hall of Famers, these all-stars. We got spoiled with success right away, and then we kind of started losing a little bit, and then we'd go back up a little bit, but there's always been hope, and there's always been this core of fans who follow the Avs regardless. And lately, they're really getting rewarded because there is so much out there in the hockey ecosphere for Colorado Avalanche fans. And one of the best things happening right now is podcasts. There's a handful of them out there. My favorite is the BSN Avalanche podcast, and that's because we have exposure to the Avalanche in a way that we never did before. It's not some beat reporter who's, you know, tired and being on the road for 20 some years and he's just kind of dialing it in. These guys are hungry. These guys are out there trying to do their very best to bring to you the full and the real and authentic experience of what it is to follow the Colorado Avalanche. And you get that. You get the flaws, you get the warts, you get the highs, you get the lows, but you get something that is very genuine, very authentic, and very real. And I love that. And a piece of that that has just kind of recently come on board, and recently means a couple of years back, is when BSN Avalanche podcast transitioned from Dan the Viking, who was great in all of his own rights, but they brought on Jesse Montano, who epitomizes everything I just said. He is authentic. He is genuine. He's doing this because he loves to do it, and he loves to bring it to you, and he loves to share that experience. So we sat down with Jesse and we asked him a lot of questions, not all of them, just about hockey. We wanted to get at the origin story of what it means to be Jesse Montano, how he got to where he is today, what he sees the future as, and how he looks at everything that happens on a daily basis. And it was great. We love it. You might have heard the teaser that came out where we kind of wrap up his origin story in just a couple of minutes, but we're going to go deep on this one. This will be over an hour long, and you're going to get to know everything you ever wanted to know about Jesse Montano. And for me, there was a lot of eye-opening experiences, but also just this feeling that he's a real, genuine, authentic dude, and I appreciate the hell out of him for it. And so, without any further ado, here is Jesse Montano, starting right at the beginning. So, do you mind going back on your origin story and kind of getting through? I mean, you don't have to start at the moment you were conceived or maybe the moment you walked, but maybe the idea that you, like, the first thing that you wanted to be as a kid that you can recall?
Oh, the first thing. Well, I mean, I started playing hockey when I was about 4.5-ish. So, I mean, obviously when I was younger, when I was a little kid, obviously I wanted to, I wanted to play hockey. But I think as I got older, more, I don't want to use the word realistic. But, you know, as I, you know, got older and started realizing, hey, that's probably not in the cards for me. I think the first thing that I really kind of set out after was actually graphic design. I've always had kind of a creative, I think creative side to me. And I took, you know, classes in high school, some classes after high school on it. And it just, I actually had a graphic design job working with I guess you'd call it a sporting goods store. They were a hockey and lacrosse store. I worked on the team sales side, doing graphic design for them, uniforms, websites, things like that. And unfortunately, looking back on it now, the company, just the way that they ran themselves, kind of burned me out on it. Not a lot of help was given to me, and the passion kind of went away. And so I went into sales, which I've always kind of done on the side. Even with that graphic design job, I did graphic design, and I was also an inside sales guy for them. So I was in sales, and then I was obviously, you know, I've lived in Denver since I was 2 years old. So I've grown up watching the Avs, and I actually used to listen to AJ and JJ on the BS and Avalanche podcast. And I mean, every time a new episode would come out, I'd listen to it right away at the gym, at my desk. I listened to a lot of talk radio in the car, the local sports station here, The Fan. And I always felt like it was something I could be good at because I'm naturally kind of outgoing. I like talking to people. I like talking in general. When I first started pursuing this, a lot of my friends and you know, their parents that I knew from growing up, it was funny because they heard it and like, oh, talking for a living. Yeah, that sounds about right. So I left my job, went to the media school, really kind of by chance ended up meeting AJ, and now I'm here.
So let's drill in on that really quick, because I think that there's been, this is like KISS. I should really say that with Dater's name.
Yeah.
This is like a different band members popping in and out, right? Because at one point there was a Viking guy. Before that, you talked about JJ. And like, there's this long history of things happening. But I think people are happiest now with the current lineup than they've been the entire time. So you were at school. Did you kind of take over for this guy, the Viking guy, whatever his name was?
Yeah. So it's the way that it was set up. And again, it's one of those things where I think AJ and Dater and myself have talked about this before. I was very, very, very lucky with my timing. So I went to the school and Dan, which is, they called him Dan the Viking. So hold on, let me back this up another step. AJ and JJ used to record at the Colorado Media School. They have a really nice studio there on campus and they rent it out. They like professional, and I use air quotes when I say professional, podcasts like BSN, using those studios because that's a lot of ears that they're hitting that they normally wouldn't, right? So we would always plug, we're at the Mile High Studios here at the Colorado Media School. So that's exposure the media school wouldn't get otherwise. So they liked when podcasts like that used it. So what they did was they used producers that were at the school. So Dan the Viking was attending the media school. When he left, someone else stepped in, and that was how the process went. When one producer graduated, a new one took over. One producer graduated, a new one took over. So I went in and sat in on an episode. I was learning how to run a board, be a producer. And I just kind of kept showing up. After the first time I was there, I went in, I asked AJ and JJ, hey, do you guys care if I come and sit in and watch every week? As everyone knows, they're both awesome guys. So they said, no, absolutely not. So just me being there as the guy in line in front of me graduated, I stepped in and took over. And it just happened to be coincidental timing that they were actually transitioning away from using the media school when I was there. I always tried to make sure that I made time for them if they ever needed anything. I edited shows extra after if I needed to. I always just tried to do a little bit extra to stand out. I had talked with AJ, let him know that I was interested in pursuing something with BSN after I had left the media school. So when they made that transition away from the media school, AJ came to me and said, hey, we want you to keep going with us. We think that, you know, there's good chemistry here. You know hockey well enough that you can interject. And it just so happened to be that when JJ left and AD stepped in, there was a couple times where AD would either be traveling or something happened and he couldn't come on. AJ just kind of, well, hey, can you take over and do this episode? And again, so it was just extremely fortunate timing for me. And it really just kind of, it was a right place, right time, right moment kind of thing.
And is this what you would do if you won the lottery and you never had to work again? Like, is this the thing you would spend your time on?
No doubt. Absolutely no doubt. This is, this is something that I do all the time anyways, is sit around and talk as much hockey as possible. And so, yeah, like you said, if I had all the spare time in the world, this is no doubt what I'd be doing.
That's awesome. I love it when people do it for that reason too, because it's authentic and genuine and you can sniff that out pretty quick in a podcast.
Well, and it's, it's funny. And obviously I don't want to get too personal here, but when you're starting out in this industry, the money isn't necessarily rolling in. You know, you're not having to open up offshore accounts when you're just getting started in this industry. There is a lot of dues paying, and there's a lot of, hey, no one else wants to go do this, you go do it, or, you know, things like that. And so you really do, you have to have a passion for this, and you have to want to do it. Because if you're in it for the money, again, getting started out at the entry level, it's not there. So you do have to love this, and you do have to have the passion for it. And again, if you are doing this as a long-term career, you can definitely get there, no doubt. You can make the money, but you've got to be willing to sacrifice, and you have to be genuinely wanting to do it. So it's, again, I consider myself very lucky to be able to be on this side of the microphone, because I used to listen religiously, and it's a ton of fun to be on the side producing the content.
That's funny, because you and I actually have a fair bit in common then when it comes to the graphics and the multimedia and kind of the way that we got to where we are today. But it's also funny to me too, because this is one of those professions that you don't just grow up wanting to do. I mean, most kids want to be a firefighter when they grow up, or they want to be an astronaut. Nobody really grows up and goes, you know what, when I grow up, I want to be a podcaster.
Well, it's one that at least I never really thought about. You know, you read the articles, you see content, and you never really think about, well, who's doing this? And I, honestly, listening to AJ and JJ was the first time I really had that real thought, because it was, you know, when you're going through Twitter or Yahoo News or whatever, you're just clicking on links. You're not necessarily stopping to see who's writing each thing. And I think Twitter has been had a big influence on me, because again, you see the same people putting out, you know, abs content, putting out NHL content, putting out fill in the blank for the team content. And it's the same people. And you're listening to, again, me, AJ, every week. And you feel like you start to get to know these people a little bit. And so again, it kind of made me think, wow, that is an industry that realistically you could get into. It's not this behind the scenes thing. It's just, it's something I never really considered until, again, social media, Twitter, podcasts, things like that, before I really kind of realized that it's just an industry like any other.
Well, and now you find yourself between two very different sides of the industry. I mean, Data's been around forever, day one, maybe before that. And then you have AJ, who he's been around for a while, but I mean, he's fairly new. I think a lot of people look at him as kind of the new version of beat reporting. I don't even know. Do you guys call each other beat reporters? Is that what you are?
Yeah. That's what we consider at BSN. You know, we have Avs, Broncos, Nuggets, Rockies, and it's the Avs beat, the Rockies beat, the Nuggets beat.
Gotcha.
But no, it's funny you say that, because that is a lot of the feedback we get. And you made the comment earlier of, you said, I think people like it the most. And first of all, thank you for that. We really do appreciate it. We put our heart and soul into this, and it's tough sometimes. So to hear someone on the outside say that, that really does mean a lot to us. But I think part of what goes into that is exactly what you just said. I think AJ and I, coincidentally, there are a lot of people who think it's an act that AJ and I intentionally agree on a bunch of stuff. But it's not. AJ and I just kind of have a quote unquote newer age school of thinking, as where AD, you know, AD was the one who broke the story that the Nordiques were moving to Colorado. So he's been here since before day one. And so he grew up watching hockey in you know, those earlier years where it was much different. So we do have kind of a good dynamic where it's contrasting thoughts and ways of thinking on everything. And I think it makes, I hope it makes for good listening and good content in general.
So I get everything that you just said, and there's a certain tension that people love, but these are the same people that go to Netflix and look for drama. I just happen to be at a point in my life where I need zero manufactured drama.
Right.
That's about the only time I ever turn off your guys' podcast is when Data and AJ really get going at it. I'm like, okay, I have like 28 podcasts that I have episodes from that I could be going on right now.
Right.
I get that people love that too. I'm overly sensitive to it because I'm drama'd out in my life right now.
For sure. Well, and it's interesting too, because when stuff like that happens, one, it's all completely genuine. We don't manufacture any of that. There, are topics where they both feel very strongly in their own ways. And so again, none of that is manufactured. I can tell you that for sure. But two, it is funny that you say that, because when stuff like that happens, if, you know, in an episode, and let's say it goes on for 10, 15 minutes, which is not uncommon, it's interesting the feedback we get on Twitter in our comment section on bsndenver.com. It's split right down the middle. There are people that absolutely love it, and there are people that, like you said, are say, hey, look, you know, I get that on TV or whatever. I don't like it. So it's interesting, because we do try to walk the line, and that's where I kind of try to step in. You know, I'll let them go for a few minutes and I'll try to move us on. We've gotten to that point because we know, hey, look, there are some people that like the arguing, and like when AJ will dig his heels in and say, no, this is how I feel. But we know that also has a time limit before people, like you just said, say, okay, I'm over this. You both made your points. I'm done. I'm going to move on if you guys don't stop. So we try to walk that line, because there is no in between. People either love it or hate it. And it's interesting.
That's a great place to be, though. That means, I mean, indifference is probably the worst, right? I mean, people don't give a shit right either way. So this way, I think you guys are doing it right. But, you know, I think there is that complexity of an audience where you never know, and all you can do is be genuine and put out, you know, the truth in your mind and what's really happening. And I think you guys are nailing it, man. I'm not trying to just be nice. I'll be critical too. Trust me.
No. I appreciate that, because, you know, like me, I work a second job, and so the days can be tough and they can be long, and AJ and Dater, you know, especially we're ramping up this week as I'm sure you are, training camp, and it's funny because we sit here and it sucks through the summer. There's nothing to talk about. It's slow, but it's funny. We looked at the schedule last week, and I mean, it's a month long sprint here starting on Friday. So it's we put a lot of work into it. So it's always great when we hear people enjoy it and like listening to it. So.
Yeah, I mean, you guys do it for a living. I do it just purely out of the love of it. If I won that lottery, it's pretty much as if I have won the lottery. I mean, if I don't feel like doing a thing, I don't. And sometimes a month will go by and I won't do a damn thing.
Right.
And I'm like anybody else. I'm dying for hockey. I'm a little bit over the this many days till hockey, like picks days till hockey, days till hockey. Like it's cute, but I'm a little bit over that. But yeah. I've also learned, man, you got to get away sometimes. I imagine you guys really have to deal with that. It's like you're constantly in it. And even when there's nothing going on, you kind of come up with things to talk about, especially in this downtime right now. And like after a while, man, there's some analogies, like, you know, every guy gets tired of a hot chick eventually. Like it seems like you guys would get tired of this hot chick eventually. Like as much as you love hockey, sometimes you got to get away, right?
Yeah. And see, that was kind of the tough part about the summer, because last year last summer was before we had switched to our subscription model. And so it was one show per week, and there was the Duchesne drama going on. There was, you know, who's going to get fired, who's this, who's that. The summer before that, Patrick Waugh left. There was, you know, there's been stuff to talk about. But this year, to your point, you know, you can only talk about, because the Avs had kind of a boring offseason. And it's funny, it's, you know, we made the joke this year, this is kind of what a functional hockey team offseason looks like. And to the point you just made, you can only talk about that so much. So for people that listen to every show, which we're very grateful, we have a lot of people who do, they don't miss an episode. They probably noticed that we had a lot of combinations where it was me and AJ, then me and Dater, then AJ and Dater, then Dater by himself, me by myself. And it was just exactly what you said. It was, hey, look, you know, we've been doing these shows. At a certain point this summer, we had to pull them back from 5 days a week, just because there purely wasn't enough for us to talk about. And we don't like, you know, being here in Denver, the kind of famous example is the Broncos quarterback thing, which every Broncos media outlet has talked about it for the last 4 years, and it's still going on. And we didn't want to be that, because we hear how people get sick of that. So we didn't want to be that. So we pulled it back. But even at three shows a week, there were times when AJ was like, hey, look, guys, I got to get away from this. I'm going with my friends up to the mountains. So can you guys cover the shows this week? Yeah, no problem. And we kind of know that everyone has to do that. So we're, you know, we have a nice, I've said it before, I'm very lucky. I have a really good team. I couldn't be learning from better people, and we have each other's backs, and hey, you need to get away. Go take care of that. Family's in town. Go spend time with your family. We've got this. So you do, you've got to get away and you have to reset. Otherwise you'll go insane. Just like with any other job.
I hear you. So do you mind me asking what your other day job is?
Yeah. So I've been in sales since I was younger. So it's something that I was told by my dad at a young age, if you can sell, you'll have a job for life. And I think I'm pretty good at it. So I'm in sales just a way so that I can pay the bills and afford, to be able to do this and still, you know, eat lunch. So it's good. And it's, I like it.
I don't think people recognize that the job that you have, the industry that you're in, it doesn't really make millionaires out of many people. And it rarely ever makes thousandaires, you know, there's not a lot going on when it comes to the money side of it, because there isn't really a career progression. So it's one of those things, like, I know that between Bleacher Report and this, I mean, Data did what Data had to do to make ends meet, you know, and people don't see that side of it. They think that these guys just kind of stroll off the bar, watch a game and write a report.
Right.
It's just not that way. So for me, I think it's really cool that people can kind of see that this is work, man. You're doing this because you love it and you work so that you can fund it at times.
Right. And it's interesting, too, because, you know, people see the big names, the Bob McKenzie's, the Pierre LeBruns on TSN and Sportsnet. And yeah, those guys at the top, again, just like any industry, the guys at the top, they're making money and life is good. They're on national TV. They have hundreds of thousands, if not millions of followers. So they can put out podcasts and whatever content, and people are going to click on it. Well, again, just like life, even that's the top 1%. There are thousands of people that bring you content underneath that. And to your point, it's a lot of grinding for, in a lot of instances, not a lot of money. And so there's the internet's kind of changing ways that you bring in money. And I think this industry, I'm hoping, is going in a direction where that's not always going to be the case. And there can be a lot of money to be made at all levels here. But a lot of the people that I know and I've met in this industry do work other jobs, just like you said, so that they can fund what is a passion. And yes, it is a job and it's a lot of work, but you do it because you're passionate about it. And I know for us, we love, my biggest thing has always been, I was always frustrated growing up with the lack of, this is a football town. It just is here in Denver. The Broncos, you know, they were what, 5-11 last year, and they sold out every game. So people, that's where the resources go. And if you watch even the evening news, the Avs can win. The one that I remember from last year, they won the shootout thriller against Vegas, and it was a footnote on the evening news. They're in a playoff race. They win this extremely dramatic shootout, and it was, oh, and the Avs won. So our goal, what we always get together and say, is we want the coverage that we never got. And that's what we try to provide, and that's why I'm so passionate about this, because I know that if we provide good enough coverage, there is someone who is on Twitter who's 13 years old who's gonna follow it, and they're gonna be a fan for life because of the coverage that we bring, that I feel like my generation and the generation before us, as good of work as AD did for the Denver Post, it just wasn't that front page coverage when I was growing up. So that's what we want to bring. And that's why I do this. That's why I work another job, because I love doing that. And I hope people appreciate and like what we put out there.
Yeah, I think that they do, for sure. And you could be paving the way. You know, I think there's people out there right now who would love to do what you do for a living. Maybe some of them are young, too. And that's a pretty cool spot to be in, right? I mean, money aside, inspiring people and entertaining them and educating them, these are all really cool things.
Right.
So on your way up, how long have you been doing this? How long would you say the journey's been from the idea of this kind of work to what you do now?
So I left my job to go to pursue this in, let's see here, December of 2016. So again, I was very fortunate with right place, right time kind of thing.
You were, but you, it sounds like you were prepared to take advantage of it too. People forget that part of luck, because you have to be able to do something about it.
You do. And that is one thing, as lucky as I was, I made sure, you know, I took AJ my resume when he didn't ask for it, and I hounded him. I maybe the thing I'm luckiest about is that he didn't get annoyed with me and stop answering my calls. But I mean, I was pinging AJ every single day just about the opportunity. So while I was very lucky that I was right place, right time, you have to pursue it. Nothing's going to fall into your lap. And if you do get that opportunity, you have to be good. And by no means is that me, you know, thumping my chest, but you have to be willing to put in the work, and it's got to be quality stuff. Otherwise, you know, this is the service industry. We're providing something to the public. And if it's not good, then people don't want it, and employers don't want you. So you have to take advantage of those lucky opportunities, and you have to run with it from there. But yeah. So again, when I look at the timeline, I'm coming up on 2 years almost where I started pursuing this. Where I am now, I'm extremely fortunate, and I don't take that for granted for a second.
So what advice along the way have you gotten that you would tell other people to ignore?
Ooh, to
like everybody always wants to know what advice you would give somebody, but all along my career, I've been given some pretty shitty advice. I'm guessing you've heard a little bit yourself. So like, what are the things you think people should ignore?
I think that they should ignore... For me, it's, and this is going to sound like a weird one, so I'm going to explain it after. I was told initially when I got into this, say yes to any job offer you get. And the reason I would say that that's not necessarily great advice getting into this industry is I think if I got a job that I wasn't passionate about, even if it was in this industry, and a lot of this industry is meeting the right people and making contacts, which is extremely important. But it's harder to stick with something if you're not passionate about. A great example, actually, I just ran into someone that I went to the media school with, and they'd gotten a job right after while we were at the media school, and I just ran into him. I asked if they were still doing it. He said, no, they had me doing, I don't want to put this guy's life on blast, but he said, you know, they had me doing something that I didn't like, and I hated doing it, and it wasn't great money. So I left, and now he's back to working a regular job, which is fine. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that, but you have to find something that you're passionate about, especially in this industry, because the money isn't great starting out, and it's a lot of dues paying. And if you're doing something that you don't love getting up to do every morning, you're going to be miserable, and it's going to be that much harder to stick it out. So my thing would be is find the industry that you are passionate about. And then yes, from there, make contacts, take job offers, go on interviews, do internships, things like that. But just blindly saying yes to anything someone offers you, and I think that's true across all industries, you want to make sure it's something that you'll enjoy doing. Money plays a huge role in a career, no doubt. I'm not blind to that. Obviously, you know, I work a second job, but you do have to like what you do to some extent. Everyone has worked a job that they hated, and it's that much harder getting up every single morning and going to bed on Sunday nights and things like that. So you've got to find something that you're going to like and that you'll enjoy doing. And from there, you'll find that, hey, man, it's paying a little bit less than this job over here, but I turned down, but I'm much happier and I love doing this. So that would, I think, be my number one piece of advice to take, but take it with a grain of salt.
I agree. The power of no is huge.
Yeah.
If you say yes to everything, you don't have time for a cool thing when it comes up. And that can really suck, man. It'll make you hate what you're doing even more if there's something cooler you'd rather be doing.
Well, and this is a small industry, and a lot of people know each other. So it's one of those things where if you say yes, just because it was the first thing that offered to you, but then something that you'd really like more comes along, if you bail on the job that you initially said yes to, again, this is a small industry. You might end up running into that that person that you stiffed later on down the road, or they might know someone that was looking at you for something. So you have to be really careful, and you want to make sure that, that you're taking care of yourself while also being respectful to other people in the industry, because it's a lot of people talk, a lot of people know each other. A lot of people, oh, I worked with them back at this station, or yeah, we wrote together here. Oh yeah, he bailed on me after just a week of taking the job. Don't hire him. Don't whatever. So it's keeping your options open and making sure that you fully understand what you're getting into.
Yeah. I mean, I think you and I, and probably the people you hang out with too, you develop the instincts to survive, man, but it takes real courage to want to thrive and try a new thing and put yourself out there in a very public way. Cause you're going to get ridiculed, man, no matter how good you are. Sooner or later, somebody's going to have a Twitter moment on you, and you're either going to have tough skin or not look at it, or just decide, you know, I'm doing this because I really think this is the way it ought to be done. Yeah. And to your point, this guy who's suddenly doing a job he doesn't love, I mean, you come out of school and you're typically looking for a job that is the way it is today. And when it changes so quick, though, you have to be willing to figure out what the job looks like 5 years down the road and start doing that now.
Right.
And I think to that end, that's kind of what you guys are doing. I mean, you've had a progression all along the way. It started off real simple. You got the podcast going, which was a huge start, right?
Yeah.
Had some lineup changes along the way. And then you guys got to where you started doing podcasts like at the arena at night. You're hanging with the cleaning crew. So what now? Are you guys going to keep looking forward? Are you guys pretty happy with where you are? What's got you excited in the terms of a podcast right now?
So again, the landscape of a lot of this is changing, right? Where Twitter is such a big part of it, and an instant gratification. And it's funny because we talked to Dater about using him breaking the story as an example of the Quebec Nordiques have been sold to a company in Denver, and they're relocating the team to Colorado. That was a story that Dater actually got the day before it broke. And so it was one of those things where he wrote the story, the papers got printed, and it was a full 12 hours before anyone even got that. And even at that, it was anybody who went and picked up the paper. And then, you know, it started hitting the news outlets and stuff. Now, if something like that were to happen, that news breaks immediately. And so that's kind of where we're focusing. How can we deliver content faster? And we've started dabbling a lot more in the Periscope type stuff and doing shows live. You know, we tried a couple last year and we're lucky because of the space that we're in. You know, we aren't a newspaper where we have hard deadlines and things like that. So we can get creative. You know, last year for the trade deadline, we tried doing a show live on Periscope, you know, a podcast live, and there was definitely hiccups in it. But now that's one of those things where it's like, all right, we did it last year, we're going to try it again this year, and we know what went wrong. So I think that's kind of a direction that we're wanting to go in more, where a lot more, I don't necessarily want to say rapid reaction stuff, but stuff that's live and stuff that people can watch and consume as we're doing it. We aren't quite sure how a lot of that looks yet, but we're in a space with a company where we can try new things. So, you know, we've even started talking about it and we're all going to get together. I believe it's this week and talk about, what new things do we want to try this year? How do we want to try bringing people new content? Is that more video content? Is that more audio content? Is that Periscope stuff? Is that, you know, what is it? We do the story time stuff with Dater because there is a huge contingency of Avs fans who like the nostalgic flashback, old stories type stuff. So that's kind of the space that we're in is what can we do that no one else is doing. We have an idea for training camp this year. I don't want to give anything away. If we can pull it off, it's...
That's funny. You're optimistic about my editor.
But it's something that's new and something that's different. And it's one of those things where if we think people like it, we're going to try it and we'll take that feedback. And if people like it, we'll do it again. If people don't, we say, shot and missed.
Yeah. Doesn't cost you a lot either. I mean, it's not like you're buying film or you're out there, you know, doing these things on tape and therefore you lost money when it's done. But the great thing about digital, man, is if it doesn't work, it's just gone. That's it.
Yeah. You delete it and you go, well, that sucked. But that's kind of our thing is what can we do that's different? because podcasts have done a great thing and a terrible thing for media. And the great thing is anybody can do it and anybody can put out that content. And anybody can get ears on it. And there are huge success stories. I'd like to think we are on our way to that because our podcast is what drives a lot of our content. People think it's the other way around. It's not. We get, you know, we advertise our written content through our podcast. And so it's great. So we're a success story. The terrible thing podcasts have done is anybody can do it, which is the exact same as the success stories. So it's easy to dilute an industry or a topic. So you have to be doing something different. You have to be doing something unique to keep people interested. Because exactly what you said here at the beginning of this, you know, there's 28 other podcasts I can be listening to. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to one of those. So you have to stay creative and you have to keep people wanting to come back for more. And so that's kind of the space we're focusing is what can we do that The Athletic hasn't done or that TSN hasn't done. You've got to stay on your toes and you have to be forward thinking constantly.
I think one thing you guys always have is you're quick. You guys go from game to podcast just like that, right? And that keeps it relevant. But it also means that you guys are dealing with things that aren't that relevant 2 days later. And so I've always wondered if you guys were going to dabble in things that were more evergreen. Maybe not just, you know, videos and story time with data, which I have lots of ideas on that for you. But most of them technical. just this kind of thing where a podcast that is as relevant a year from now as it is right now. I've always been curious to see if you guys go that route. And that's more what I've been leaning towards is you guys got it covered so good. I mean, for me, anything I do is because I feel like it should be out in the world. That's the truth with Colorado hockey, with Avs, fam, any of it, right? It's like, mm-hmm. I feel like it should exist in this world and in this little ecosphere of hockey fans that I live in. And so if it's not, then I try to put it there. But once it's there, I mean, you guys got that covered so well. And I feel like it'd be really cool to see you address the other side of it too.
Yeah. And so part of the thing that when we went to the 5 podcasts a week, I remember when we first had our company meeting and that was what we were told, it was a little daunting because we were just doing once a week. And with one a week, it's kind of a double-edged sword because on one hand, you've always got content to talk about. On the other, to your point, there is some things that you say that, nah, that's pretty dated. You know, that game happened a week ago or that injury happened a week ago, whatever it is. So it's tough because we talk about what can we do that's evergreen? What's something we can always talk about? What's something that's always relevant? And we touched on that stuff a little bit this summer, just purely out of the need for content. You know, we did a concussion show a couple weeks ago where, to me, that's a conversation that's relevant that's been relevant for the last couple of years and will be relevant for a while, where we struggle with what we're doing during the regular season is with 5 days, you know, we do an entire show about the game that just happened or something, you know, a game and a practice. So it's tough because we are moving so quickly. It is hard to get in those evergreen topics. That's definitely something that we want to do. And it's something that, you know, you can have pinned to the top of your page on Twitter, but like you said, is relevant all year round.
I've got that episode tagged, by the way. I was really excited to see you guys touch on it. I haven't checked it out yet, though.
Oh, yeah, the concussion one. Yeah,
I know. It seems like forever ago in your guys' world. Like I said, to do things often and quick and all that. But for me, yeah, that's what I'm really excited to see because I care a lot about that sort of thing for a lot of reasons. But also, I'm really curious about how they're going to address it because they're going to have to eventually.
Well, we actually did that one because over, I believe it was the Christmas break, during the last season, we did that show and a couple things happened. We ended up losing it. It never got posted. So we thought, hey, look, we're winding down here in the summer. Topics are thin. Let's go for it again. And a lot of that podcast I actually really liked. We ended up spinning in circles a little bit right at the end. So we cut it off. We said, let's just get out of here. But it's, to your point, I think it's a discussion that it's funny because the issue a lot of people have on the side of they knew their risks, was they think that the players are complaining about getting concussions. Oh, I didn't know I was going to get a concussion. As where how I see that is, what a lot of players are saying is, we aren't being treated properly. And because we aren't educated enough on the topic, I didn't know that when this doctor told me, yeah, you're good to get back in, I wasn't educated enough to know the symptoms. And I know you didn't want me to start a concussion podcast, but it is interesting because I think there's a little bit of a misunderstanding between what people think the issue is and what it actually is. And what the issue actually is we aren't receiving the right treatment, and we aren't educated enough to know that we aren't receiving the right treatment. And it's something that I think is a huge issue, and I think needs to be addressed, not just in the NHL, but across all professional sports. And I think it's important to talk about, and I feel very lucky that I have a platform to talk about it on. And that was a discussion that we had actually before we decided to do the podcast. AJ asked, why should we talk about this? And he wasn't being mean. That's a question we always ask before we record a show. Why should we talk about this? Justify to me why people would want to listen to it. And I said that, I was like, hey, look, this is a huge issue that a lot of people are scared to talk about. We have a platform. We have contrasting thought processes on it. We need to take advantage of a lucky situation that we're in, that there are people that care what we think. And so, again, I was really happy that we were able to do that, because not a lot of people get to voice their opinions to so many the way that we do.
Right. And that's a pretty evergreen topic. I can go back and listen to that at any time. I mean, me, Radway, without actually hearing it, I'm wondering, do they touch on CBDs? Is that why they have a sponsor that does CBD stuff? And yeah, there's so much of that has to do with kind of how the future of the game is going to look and what it's going to be like. And I think that stuff is fascinating. I could have an hour long conversation with the guy taking your ticket at the arena. Like, right. The people who are there in that little world, in that ecosphere of hockey, it's fascinating to me. And that's why, you know, I reach out to Dater every now and then and kind of catch up on what he's doing in the same sort of way. I'm way more interested in you know, the daily life of him and the thing like that instead of hockey, because I feel like you can just get that anytime you want.
Right.
You guys do great with it. I'm not saying that's not fun. Just to me, this is where it gets really interesting, is there's people behind that microphone, and there's people behind the three. You guys do three sessions with ads in between or something like that.
Right.
Let me ask this. I'm going to go down that rabbit hole. What is going on, man? Are you guys just like at wit's end and you have to stop and take a break, or is it your throat's dry, or what made you decide on that format?
Marketing contracts.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So today, actually, once I'm done here, we'll actually be recording a show for BSN, and it's Monday. So we do ad-free Mondays, and we actually love doing it that way because we can fly right through. And especially when all three of us are on there, a lot of the times it's a lot of voices and it's a lot of cooks in the kitchen. But it's nice because it actually, like you said, if your throat's dry, you need a drink of water. Occasionally it'll happen where someone needs a bathroom break. One person can step away and do that, and the other two can carry the conversation while the other person is getting that swig of water. But the three segments with breaks in between are what we're contractually obligated to. We have sponsors that pay BSN money for us to run their ads. So we try to use it to our, our advantage, where it's, hey, we want to shift topics here. So we'll stop there. We'll play a break and we come back in. We can take it a completely different direction, and we don't need that segue. You know, we don't need to tie the two things together. We can say, all right, that's the end of the conversation about Connor Timmins. When we come back, we're going to talk about Nathan MacKinnon. They're completely unrelated, but we can use those breaks to change our topics and to go a completely different direction with the show. And
maybe even break the tension, right? I mean, every now and then there's a little tension about opinions on things like that. It's a great hard stop, is really why I thought you guys were doing it.
Yeah, no, there are times where maybe we haven't put a full bow on a conversation, but we'll take a break. And what's great about the crew that we have is we can have two people just at each other's throats. Any two of us, we take a break. As soon as the mics go off, we're laughing. It's joking. It's fun. By the time we come back in, everyone's over it. And we're moving on. So it is the breaks. While we do them for our advertisers, they do serve a purpose for us personally as well.
Nice. So are you guys looking at some more fan interaction this year? I know you kind of dabbled in it. You definitely were getting people calling in with questions. And after a while, it was like more than the same five people too. So you're definitely getting that. Are you guys looking down that road at all?
Yeah. So we love interacting with the people that listen, because again, what we're trying to do is what content do you guys want? Tell us what you want and we'll give it to you. So we do the listener question show, which we'll be getting very much back into. I experimented with it this summer and I got a great response of, I literally set up a Periscope and said, we're going to do this like a live Q&A. And I did an hour long podcast, just taking questions live as I'm recording it. And it was stuff that people really liked, because it's, hey, we have questions where there's things we're wondering about the team. I want to hear what you think. And that's what we want to provide to people. We don't want to be talking about Broncos quarterback controversy every day for four straight years. We want to give you guys what you want to hear. That's one of my biggest things is, again, because I listen to the radio here in Denver. When you're in this industry, you're always consuming other content, and the thought process is, how can I make our content better by listening to this? So I listen to that stuff. So I know that it's a lot of, again, it's a lot of talk of about one specific topic in one specific team. You go out into the community, you talk to people about that. Nobody likes that. Now, the fan here in Denver, they do insane numbers and they're really good at what they do. So I'm not taking anything away from them. But when you talk to a lot of people, they say, yeah, no, they have good hosts on there, but I wish they'd talk about this. So that's what we try to do. So we are going to try to do more fan interaction. We've dabbled with the idea of trying to do something live where people came to us. We might, our heads might be a little bit bigger than our following with that one, but we definitely want to get listeners more involved, because this is all for them at the end of the day. So if there is anybody listening that has an idea, never hesitate to send us a DM, never hesitate to send us something on Twitter, call in, reach out in any way, because 9 times out of 10, we're going to go out of our way to make sure that we get your request fulfilled. So we are. We're going to try to do more fan interaction stuff, more fan meetups and things like that, watch parties. So we definitely, last year was a learning curve for our entire company, as it was the first year we switched to a subscription model in the middle of the AV season. So it was a learning curve for us. It was a transition period. And we're really excited for this year to get going, because we feel like we have our feet a lot more firmly planted on the ground, and we have a lot clearer idea of what we want to do. We're not going to be dealing with changing models in between the year. Conveying the message last year was really tough of, hey, look, our written content is paid. Our podcast is still free. So I think people have a lot more clear idea of who we are and what we do. So I think it'll be a little bit easier for us to get listeners involved. And we're really, really excited about that idea.
All right. I want to be respectful of your time. So I'm going to get to a couple ending pieces here. I think we're nearly an hour in at this point. I love the long form podcast, though, because you can go deep. And if people don't love what you're saying, they can fast forward.
Well, that's we do, our shows are anywhere from 45 minutes to, I mean, we've had some that have been nearly 2 hours. I think the LG show was right at about 2 hours. I love the long form stuff, because there are podcasts I listen to that are 20 minutes and it's like, man, it's right as you're getting in, right as I'm sinking into it, it's over. So I agree with you. I like the long form.
Yeah. Do you think the fans do too? Something they can count on at work or to get them home from work in the car?
Well, and that's our thing. You know, we think you're either listening to this at your desk, on your drive home, at the gym, somewhere where you are trying to pass the time. So, hey, if I can turn an hour and a half podcast, I can do my workout. And by the time it's over, I'm done. Or by the time it's over, my commute's done. Or by the time it's over, hey, it's time to go to lunch. So I think people enjoy the little bit longer I think people err on the longer side versus the, you know, the 20 minute, 25 minute stuff.
Walk me through game day.
So yeah, basically morning skate. It officially starts at 10:30, but there are guys on the ice starting really at 10. So you want to make sure you're there before that. So we'll get down there. I'll get down there at about 9:30, 9:45, get credentialed, get settled, and talk with some of the other guys that are there. Where we hang out is actually down in one of the corners where the visitors hang out. So you'll see certain guys stretching, other members of the media from the opposing team. So you talk to them, talk to LG, talk to Moj, you know, anyone who you might have something that would be pertinent to what you're doing. Get settled in. Guys start trickling out. A lot of the times, if there's a guy trying to come back from injury, for example, Tyson Jost, when I was out in Sweden last year, Jost was always one of the first ones on the ice. So I would make sure to get there early. Is he in red? Okay. He is in burgundy today. So, you know, it's just one of those things where a lot of the times injured guys will skate before and get off before everyone else gets on the ice. So if you're getting there right at 10:30, you miss the fact that, hey, Mark Barberio skated for 30 minutes today with pucks. So, you know, we'll get there a little bit earlier. You'll watch that. Skate will go officially for about 30 minutes. Guys will start trickling off. They'll open up the room. We'll go in. We'll get whatever quotes we need. We're in there for about 30 minutes. We'll go down, talk to coach. We'll write a piece, put something up. If we want to do a pregame pod, that's usually when we'll do it, right when the other team's taking the ice for their morning skate. So that's a lot of the pucks and noise that you hear. You go home, you get some lunch and hang out and just kind of recharge for a couple hours. And then we start heading back towards the arena at about 4:30, 5 o'clock, get settled into the press box. The game goes on. We'll be writing stuff throughout the game, taking notes, on Twitter. Then you go down to the locker room, and this was maybe the biggest shock for me doing it for the first time. The locker room interaction after the game is at the most 5 minutes. It's very quick. It's in and out, and you have to get what you can. Then you run down to the other side of the building. They bring in coach. You get that interview, and that one's, you know, 5 to 10 minutes long, depending on the importance of the game, what happened. And then we'll go up, write a couple pieces, then we'll do a podcast, and we'll head home around 1:30.
So when we have like a 3-game week, that gets a little tedious, I bet. When we have a homestand and you have just constant, you're doing this at least 3 times a week, I'm guessing. Maybe 2 on average, I don't know. But I could see that really kind of getting at you after a while, especially if you have a day job.
Yeah, it's tough because it's a lot of we get a lot of, oh, you're so lucky, you get to watch hockey for a living. And it's like that's really, when it comes right down to the grand scheme of things, watching the game is it's a small part of what we do. And when you consider the full day, watching the game is only 3 hours or 60 minutes of gameplay technically. And, you know, we get to the arena for the first time that morning at 9:45. We're there for a couple hours. We leave for just a couple hours, and then we get back there around 5:30 ish. And we're there till 1 AM. So yeah, on those long homestands, it's funny because homestands are something as a fan, when you're just going to the game, are great because you get to go to a lot of games. But when you are working, by the end of the homestand, everyone, after coach leaves the media room, everyone's like, ah, thank God they go away for a couple games, because you do, you get to recharge a little bit. Now, obviously we are sending one person to those away games, but it's all right. I'm going on this road trip. Then we'll come back for one game. Then you're going, and I'll get to kind of recharge and do the podcast, and that's it. So it's, it can get a little tiring on the long homestands, but that's where we, having a team of 3 is really great for us, because we can send, all right, I worked the last 2. Can you guys take this game? All right. And then I'll do the next one with Jesse and this and that. So it's nice because we can kind of spread the wealth a little bit.
Gotcha. Okay. So rapid fires, skydiving, yes or no?
Yes, but I'd be scared.
That sounded like yes with a caveat, but okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Who's played the biggest role for you as far as your success so far in your 2 years?
Honestly, and it's a cliche answer, but it's been my mom.
Oh, nice.
My mom and my dad. I'm very lucky because when I left my job to go pursue this for the first little while, that was where I was focusing all of my attention, and my parents were such a huge support system for me, and you know, both morally and at times financially, because I was devoting all of my efforts to just cracking into this industry, and I didn't have time to be bringing in a lot of money. So my mom and my dad have been absolutely huge for this. I'll never ever be able to thank them enough, but they've definitely, and my girlfriend's been great too, but my parents have been have definitely been my number one fans and number one supporters and number one reason why I'm here for sure.
That's awesome, man. You got a lot of good things going for you right now.
Yeah, I'm very lucky.
A really cool conversation with a really cool dude. And on that topic of luck, sure, everybody has to get lucky at some point, but you have to be ready for luck and you have to be willing to do something with that luck. And Jesse's done a great job with his opportunity, and he's made life better for a lot of Colorado Avalanche fans out there. If you'd like to keep up with Jesse, well, we'll just let him tell you.
Yeah, definitely the best one is Twitter at Jesse Montano _. Apparently there's a lot of other Jesse Montanos out there, so I had to get creative with my name, but that's definitely going to be the best place to find me. JesseMontano_. That's where, even if I put stuff on Instagram or Facebook, which are really more of like my personal accounts, everything's going to end up on Twitter anyway. So Twitter's definitely the best place to keep track of what we're doing.
A huge thanks to Jesse for coming on to the show and being genuine and authentic and honest and real. I really appreciate the hell out of this guy, and I hope that he is on the airwaves or podcasts or wherever he might end up for a long, long time. One of the questions that we like to ask people and the way we'd like to end this show is with this. If you were given a billboard in the middle of downtown Denver or the Pepsi Center or anywhere where a lot of people are going to see this, what would you put on it? What message would you want to share with the world if you could put it up on a billboard for everyone to see?
A little soapboxy, but honestly, man, there are just got to be nicer to people. That's one of the things that to me, social media has brought out a real ugly side in a lot of people. There are a lot of people who can hide behind a keyboard and say really nasty things to people. And I know there's probably a lot of people rolling their eyes going, oh, more political correctness. I'm not even necessarily talking about that. You know, I think there are a lot of people who maybe on one account put on a show of being very nice and supportive and outgoing, but then on another account are really mean and nasty. And I think people just have too many sides to their personality, and a lot of the times a lot of those sides aren't very nice. So just be nicer to people, and honestly just have respect for what people are going through. There's a lot of times where someone says something or does something that maybe is, hey, you know, they're going through a tough time, so they post something that you might think is kind of funny or embarrassing. Don't call them out on it. Just let some things go. Be nicer to people. Just be a good person. That's what my billboard would say. Be a good person and practice what you preach. That would be my, it'd be a big black billboard in white letters. It would say, be a good person.
If you like this podcast, be sure to tell your friends about it. And you can always go and find this podcast at coloradohockey.com, or you can just go to any podcatcher and search for Colorado Hockey. This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by AvsFam, absfam.com. Awesome hockey shirts for awesome hockey people. Go check it out. I tried.
just to stay away. And now they're outside ready to buzz.